This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
All right, thanks for joining us, guys. You're listening to Behind the Rose podcast. I'm Blake Horstman, here with my buddy Eric Bradley and special guest Adam Doliak. Thanks for joining us, man.
Happy to be here, man. Yeah. How you doing?
Awesome, doing good, man. Appreciate you sitting down with us. I'm sure you know this is a weird time, so thanks for taking time. You got a lot of time on your hands, I'm sure.
Yeah, but we're not Zooming, which is awesome. We're in person.
We are in person.
6 feet apart in person, yeah. But in person, which is great.
We got to make sure we say that. We are 6 feet apart right now.
For sure. Definitely 6 feet apart.
Yeah. At least six feet. Yeah.
Awesome. So, we were trying to think. I think we did a little Zoom. How long ago was that? Like 2 months ago. Yeah. Yeah, did like a little Zoom for us. And yeah, you performed for us. So that was pretty awesome. That was amazing, actually.
That was actually really fun. There was, 25 people on the Zoom? Yeah. And I hadn't played a show at that point in months, so it was kind of like It was kind of like a show for me. Hopped on there and played a couple songs and got to hang with everybody. It was really fun.
Yeah, that's such. I didn't even think about that.
That was Stagecoach weekend.
Yeah.
It was a Stagecoach replacement. Yeah.
Exactly. So how do you and Eric really know each other?
Through Eric.
Me and Eric know each other through my manager is also Eric.
There you go. Because you guys also did, and I'm sure you know, obviously a lot of my audience is Bachelor Nation. You guys.
Oh, I had no idea. No.
What are the odds? You guys did the famous video together, which is pretty cool.
We did. Colton and Cass and Eric helped set that up for us. And that was kind of my introduction to Bachelor Nation, which, as we know, is some intense fans. I've met a lot of cool people through getting introduced to that. So that was really cool. It kind of happened. It was just kind of would this work? And before we knew it, they were flying to Nashville to shoot the video. It's always funny to me because, you know, they were on The Bachelor and I'm an up-and-coming artist kind of situation. We're like, would you want to be in this video? And you would have thought by their response that I was letting them be in the video. It was like, you know, they were so excited about it. I was like, this is awesome. But, you know, with the song, and they kind of felt like it was their story. You know, as you are very familiar with, you kind of get famous in such a weird way. And I think one of their things was to play out scenarios which they could have met, like in a grocery store, where instead of being on a television show, they like to act. They were acting out stuff like that. So that's what the video ended up being. They were kind of daydreaming, meeting in a grocery store.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was gonna say the video's awesome, man. It's been obviously super successful and everything. Yeah, it's awesome. So, and I remember when it officially dropped, I guess, or Colton, and I remember seeing like all the message boards and all the Instagram, and I was like, everybody. So it was pretty cool to see, because there's been a few Bachelor Nation people, I feel like, in a couple here and there. Some videos here and there.
Yeah, I think ours is the best, though, personally.
By far, yeah. Eric, you had a part in that video, too, right?
Eric had reached out wanting to gauge the interest of getting Cass and Colt involved in it. And, took the idea to them, and they were all on board, like Adam said, and they were really excited about it. And I know Eric and I, we were shooting around the ideas. I can't remember the original concept. What it was at the time.
Cassie was the star.
Cass was the star.
Oh yeah.
And then like with that, you know, the supermarket aisle, it's like, you know, it was a perfect idea of having, you know, Colton the checkout boy and, you know, him on the cover of the magazine. And getting lost in that daydream. That was just an incredible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It kind of turns at the end of the video where you didn't know that was the case the whole time, you know, which is cool.
So what was the, like, original, what did you write famous for? Was there some kind of, like...
I wrote famous, so I'm walking around life, just everywhere I go as a songwriter, listening for anybody to say anything that I think sounds cool. And, I mean, you could say something in this podcast, and I'll probably grab my phone and write it down, and then maybe not even tell you about it,
because
then I have to put you on the song. But, so this particular case, there was, my little brother was in town. He lives in Mississippi, and He was, I think it was his birthday or something, and we were taking him out to dinner here in Nashville. And me and him were already ready, waiting on my girlfriend McKinnon to come down. And she came walking down the stairs, and this was back when we first started dating. So he had never really seen her really dressed up before. And she's kind of a tomboy type anyway. So he turned around and he goes, "Damn, you look famous tonight." And he said that. And I know the story would be way better if I was telling my own girlfriend that she looked famous. But he said that, and I loved the angle of making, you know, the crowd or somebody else that's not me singing the song feel famous. And so I wrote that down. I think I wrote it the next week. And before long, we put it out, and the whole thing with Colton and Cassie started because they had posted on a road trip. They just posted a video of them in the car listening to Famous, and they go, "We don't know the words yet, but we love this song," and they're just grooving to it. And so we kind of kept in touch on Instagram since that, that's cool. That's kind of how it all came about.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, great song. I like that too. Like, damn, you look famous. That's a guy.
Yeah.
That's really
nice. It's like a pickup line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My brother was telling my girlfriend a pickup line.
Yeah.
And I wrote the song.
Yeah, Blake's going to use that on Broadway tonight.
Yeah, feel free.
You're going to be next to me and you start singing.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah. So I know what is it like? So you've written a lot of songs, right? You've been out there around, you know, writing songs, I think. But I read before you're a hell of a baseball player. I read this.
Yeah, I played in the College World Series, which is it's kind of a whirlwind that I ended up in Nashville. So I, backing up a little bit more, in high school I played golf. So I quit everything when I was 12 to play golf. I decided I wanted to play golf in college, did that, and from 12 till 17 I played every weekend in golf tournaments. Me and my dad would go travel, and I got a full ride to play golf in North Mississippi my junior year of high school. Accepted it, told the coach I was in. He was paying me over a full ride. It was just like a dream come true. And the first day of baseball season, my senior year of high school, my friends talked me into playing baseball. So I was at a smaller private school, and you can kind of get away with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're not having to go try out to make the team. And I was always good when I was younger. I just kind of quit caring about it. And they talked me into playing on the day of the first game. So I walked out 3 hours before the game, hit a couple balls, fielded a couple balls, and started in a game that night. And I was just thinking it'd be fun, you know, whatever, I'll play this year. And had a good year. Southern Miss is in the same hometown that I grew up in, so they're the only school that even knew I was playing baseball. But they were top 25 in the country, and I'm, you know, I was 6'4", left-handed, and had a really good year all of a sudden, and they offered me a baseball scholarship 2 weeks after I graduated, I think.
Wow.
And so I have to call this golf coach and be like, "Hey, man, I know you don't know that I play baseball, but I'm going to take a baseball scholarship instead." And I'm so happy I did, though. I figured I could play golf till I was 90, and I do. I still play all the time.
Same, sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's turned into a once-a-week thing in Nashville, like, whether it's a business meeting or just for fun. And so that's kind of what led me. My roommates all play guitar. That's where the first time I picked up a guitar was probably my sophomore or junior year of college, just in the house. Still never had a lesson. I just taught myself. And yeah, all my musical influences kind of come from those 4 or 5 years in college, which they were all listening to, you know, John Mayer and Dave Matthews Band and Amos Lee and Need to Breathe, all that stuff. So that's where a lot of my stuff comes from.
That's pretty cool. So what's scratchy? What's your handicap? Are you scratch?
What scratch am I? The not scratch kind. No, I was scratch. I'm probably 6 or 7 handicap now.
Pretty good, man.
Yeah, it's some days it's better, some days it's worse. Yeah.
Freaking golf, I'll tell you what.
Ooh, I have a good golf story for you, actually.
Oh, I'm in. Yes, let's hear it.
So back to my girlfriend. Her dad is a big golfer, plays every day. Last week, he made, on a stretch of 3 holes, and I don't know that anyone's ever done this. I have looked it up and haven't found it. He made 3 eagles in a row. And has 4 witnesses. Like he
oh,
made,
really? So he's even witnesses and everything?
Witnesses. He made a 3 on a par 5, a hole-in-1 on a par 3, and a 3 on a par 5, and 3 holes in a row.
Wow. So, I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Anyone out there, if you've ever heard, I've never. We're trying to get it on the Golf Channel. Just a little 15 minutes of fame for him. You know, he deserves it because, I mean, that's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, you know, anybody listening, hit us up. I want to know if anybody's had 3 eagles in a row.
And no lying.
Yeah, no lying.
Yeah, you need a witness. You need at least one witness.
That's a pretty cool story. So, because my next question, you kind of touched on this, was where do you get a lot of your, I guess, inspiration? Like, what kind of music do you listen to when you're not listening to, like, country, if you will, or something like that?
A lot of that stuff I just kind of mentioned. John Mayer is probably who I have the most vocabulary of in my head. You know, I've listened to more John Mayer than anybody else. I think he's just so cool and timeless. It never gets old. You just keep listening to it, you know. But him and Gavin DeGraw is a big influence of mine. Some new guys I've been liking. You know, I love the Shawn Mendes, that kind of thing. And I also love, there's a guy named Patrick Droney. That's an up and coming guy that I really like. It's production kind of goes a little outside of country, but then I get back to country with writing. So I like, first guy I ever fell in love with was hearing Chris Stapleton sing just a microphone and a guitar kind of situation, you know, and voices like that. So I kind of take the style of maybe a pop song and then the style of a country vocal and lyric and put those two together. And that's kind of what I've been trying to do.
Yeah. I was going to say that's, yeah. Cause that's, I guess that's kind of what I imagine too. Cause your song is, they are country, like at the heart of it, that is country. You can feel it in there, but it's got a cool, like pop, you know, spin to it. And that right now is obviously like really, really popular right now.
Yeah.
And, you've got Neon Fools video here dropping soon, right?
Today.
Oh, did it drop today?
Yeah. It dropped like an hour ago, two hours ago.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just came out. Neon Fools was the follow-up to Famous, and it's, we had to do a bit of a quarantine-style video. It's a performance video, so it's basically just me playing piano and singing along, and there's a bunch of really cool neon lights. A guy named Alex Ovga did it. He does all of Kane Brown's video work, which was really fun. I've been wanting to work with him for a little while now. Yeah. Me and Kane are good buddies, and I've watched everything that he's done for a couple years now, and he's great. In fact, he sent us an edit, and we didn't even change a single thing. We were just like, absolutely, go with it. looks great, which doesn't happen a lot in the music world. We're always changing stuff. So he killed it, and it's out today.
Awesome. I'll tell you, so everybody go listen to it, go watch it. I'm going to have to go watch it now, because I knew it was dropping at some point, but I didn't know it was like right now.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Cool. So you kind of also... You touched on your girlfriend quite a bit. How did you two meet? We actually met her on the Zoom that night.
Yeah, she was there.
She popped in.
We were at Mom and Dad's house, my parents' house in Mississippi. Yeah, they were sleeping. They were sleeping right above us. We met, actually, for everybody listening, we're on 4th Avenue. We met one street over on 3rd Avenue. There used to be a studio called Aurora, which was like a 4K. You could go play acoustic shows in there, and they would stream it live, which, man, I'm thinking if they'd have had this during COVID. It's ironically, the business went out of business about a year ago, but if they could have just held on until now, probably would have been awesome. But anyway, she was the event coordinator, and this is quite the story, just to warn you. So I'm a hopeless romantic, and I needed a good story to meet somebody, so this was it. I think it was Thursday night, and I went out. I got dragged to a show. She was the event coordinator for the show. And so I walk in with a couple buddies, and I knew like three people there, one of which was Stormy Warren, who is the host of Sirius XM, the morning show on the highway on Sirius XM, a good buddy of mine. And so I see this girl, which was her, McKinnon, and I had found out her name, which I loved her name, McKinnon. I'd never heard that name before. Turns out her whole family is named McKinnon. So now I know a lot of people named McKinnon. So I walk in, and so I'm trying to get, you know, just basically figure out if she has a boyfriend or what, you know, who she is, whatever. And I saw Stormy talking to her. So I walked over and I was like, "Hey, Stormy, who's that girl you were just talking to?" And he said, "Oh, her name's McKinnon. You'd really love her. Bad news though. She's got a boyfriend." And I'm like, damn. All right. So we were to leave, and I was like fighting the urge to talk to her the whole time. I still wanted to walk over and, you know, drop the line of, "I've done my research. I know you have a boyfriend. I just wanted to tell you you're beautiful. Just wanted to tell you in case it works and you say something back to me, you know." But I didn't do it. I walked back in like, I think, two or three times to act like I was going to pee to try to run into her, and didn't ever run into her. So then we left, and I'm sitting outside, and one of her friends came walking out to our group of guys we were with these brochures. And it's really, her friend was like super awkward. She's like, "Sorry, we can't let y'all leave without handing out these brochures," or blah, blah, blah. And we're like, "All right, we already left though." we're outside. Should probably do this at the door next time. Anyway, so I was going to throw mine away, and I looked down, and there's a number written on the back of my brochure. And so I turned around. I'm like, "Do y'all have numbers on yours?" They go, "No." And so I got back in touch with Stormy, and I'm like, "Hey, is this her number?" He goes, "Yeah, it's her number." And so to this day, and so I texted her that night, and I told her, actually, I kind of made a bold play. I said, I was flying out the next morning, and I was like, "Hey, I was there all night tonight, and obviously she knew who I was because her friend actually brought her number kind of against her will. Like, she knew she wanted her to do it, but she brought it out. So anyway, I text her and I said, hey, I don't want to talk to you all weekend. Like, I just wanted to say, hey, I'll pick you up Monday night.
Oh, what a line.
I just did that. That's maybe better than You Look Famous,
that,
right?
That is.
Because I don't like, I've gotten into trouble before texting somebody for weeks at a time before actually meeting them or getting to, or knowing what they sound like saying stuff or something like that. You get into trouble. So I was like, I don't want to do that. I'll pick you up Monday. And I did. And we moved in 7 months later together and fast. Yeah. Just idiot kids in love, you know, so.
Fools in love.
Yeah. Yeah. Neon fools in love. That's
there
it.
See, there's a next song too. I'll pick you up Monday. Like that's a good song.
Right? Yeah.
I'll pick you up Monday. That is a cool story. Wow. And so how long have you guys been together total now?
Right about 3 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. So you've been together 3 years.
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of pressure.
No, I was just about to say that. I'm going to pop that question.
Yeah, I'm getting a little pressure.
I'm sure you are. Oh, that's great. See, I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic. I was before the show. The show kind of...
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Up. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like now I'm like...
See, I'm so much of a hopeless romantic that I kind of feel for everybody on the show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the emotions are very real and all that's real. But then you leave and you're like, oh, you're not going to take me on a helicopter day through Thailand? Like, you know?
Yeah. You can't. I mean, I've never been on the show, so I can't. I'm speaking from no experience. But I've always said the same thing you just said. I'm like, you can't train your brain to go back to being. Obviously, you're not broke after you're on the show or whatever. Right. But you can't train your brain to go back to being broke kids going on first dates and, you know, just normal life stuff. It has to throw you off.
It is a weird, coming off the show, it's definitely weird because especially when you fall in love in that environment, you know, and then you kind of go back to like real world more or less.
Yeah.
You know,
and almost how would you not? I know myself. There's no way I wouldn't fall in love in that environment.
So,
but I would probably fall in love with half of the girls.
So that's literally was my problem.
Yeah, I mean,
that's exactly what got him crossed up last year.
Very understandable.
Because I am a hopeless romantic, and so I'm kind of one of those people who like I do fall fast and everything, and so it is. And that environment's like it's good for like the producers because they know they can give me. You know, it's like one of those.
Right.
For me, it's like going in. It's like, uh oh, here we go again. You know. It's like, so
you guys get ready. I'm going to be some great television.
Yeah. It's like, keep that camera footage. I'll cry a couple times. I'll freak out a couple times. But, yeah, it's a weird experience. But that's a really cool love story because, hopefully one day, you know, away from the show, I'll have a story.
Yeah, we got a good story. It was important to me to have a good story. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad.
She's been an inspiration for a lot of your songs.
Yeah, she has. Yeah. She has. She sometimes, it's funny, I write songs. There's this one song in particular that I wrote for her it's called The Singer in the Song, and it kind of lets her know that they're all in a way about her, because, you know, a lot of times I'll come home and she has green eyes and some songs will have blue eyes and she'll be like, oh, who are you writing about now? And she doesn't quite fully understand that. And to her credit, she has to see me on stage with people screaming at me all the time. And so she doesn't quite understand all the time that I'm a storyteller as much as I'm a songwriter. Like, everything's not exactly something that's already happened. It's just inspired by maybe a feeling that actually happened. You know, the stories or the eye colors or the hair color is not always exactly what it is. So I had to kind of teach her that, you know, like, it's just not, just because it says that doesn't mean it's about exactly that.
I've never really thought of like being in, you know, like, the wife or the girlfriend or fiance's shoes when, like, the, you know, the songwriter is writing about, you know, another who looks like another woman, but really it's her they're writing about.
Oh, yeah.
I never really thought about that, actually. Like, how that could play some insecurities, for sure.
Oh, man, and it goes further than that. I mean, you go, like, you know, there's cheating songs, there's sad breakup songs, you have to get it. You can't think of them all as about current life, you know. Yeah. I always say, write songs. I try to write songs about either feelings or moments, more so feelings, that way they can change meaning. So like in, you know, if you write a song today, in 5 years it can mean something completely different, but you're just kind of experiencing the same emotion as you were back then, instead of pinning a song to a person. Because if you pin a song to a person, then you, it goes south with that person, then the song kind of goes south with it. You don't ever want to use it again. So
yeah. And can't even like sing it the same.
Yeah, it's not even fun to sing or anything. Yeah. So I try not to do that.
Perfect sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey guys, real quick, I want to talk to you about Care of Vitamins and Supplements. I've been taking these vitamins lately, and I don't know about you guys, but when I go to the store, you walk down an aisle and there are different vitamins and supplements and all kinds of things, and it can be really confusing. So the cool thing about Care of is it's hassle-free vitamins and supplements delivered straight to you. So your recommendations come in daily, individually wrapped packets that are perfect for getting back into a routine. You go online, you take a 5-minute quiz. It asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help address your specific wellness goals. So for me, when I went online and did this quiz, basically it said that I don't take enough dairy, so I have to take some calcium plus vitamins. I don't get enough fruit in my diet, so I have to take some B complex vitamins. And then also it says for me, the best kind of protein would be the plant-based protein. So I would get the plant-based protein in the mail, as well as my B complex and calcium vitamins, all individually wrapped for me each day. Care of products are formulated with good for you, clean ingredients that are backed by science. Care of is super transparent about the research and sourcing behind every one of their products, with extensive info available on their websites and fun, informative content on their social pages. So if you want to get some Care of vitamins delivered straight to you for 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code BlakeH50. That's 50% off with code BlakeH50. Go get you some Care of vitamins and supplements now. All right, now back to the pod.
I want to touch base because I don't know if you did watch, like, you know, Paradise. You said you didn't really watch the show.
I haven't watched a lot. I've checked in here and there.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of how everybody's.
Well, we have some of his new merch over there. We'll give you one of those nice crop tops to say we met a stagecoach.
Oh, absolutely rock a crop top.
For sure. Yeah. It's extra small.
Yeah. So, obviously.
We'll get a picture in that later. That'd be good.
Yeah, I'm going to hold you to that.
Damn it.
It matches the outfit, though. Perfect, yeah. You got on today.
Yeah, perfect. It's the first time I put on jeans in months, by the way.
I know, honestly.
They're kind of cool jeans. Yeah. They ripped getting into the Jeep earlier, but, you know, oh, well, it's fine.
So, obviously, yeah, Paradise is rough for me. We'll just say that. And I went through some stuff mental health-wise and everything because, like, it was really hard living in the public eye. And it was a quick, we kind of talked about it before, you know, we got on mics, was... It's a very fast, like, famous, like, you're famous.
Second, yeah.
Very fast.
Yeah.
And I feel like you've kind of had, I know you've probably put a ton of work in on the back end and everything, but it seems to happen for most artists, like, kind of as all of a sudden happens. Like, you get a hit, you get a couple hits, it just happens. How has being, you know, kind of in the, more or less, like, in the public eye, or this suddenly people start to recognize you, people know your songs, people, like, how has that been for you?
Well, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I want more and more of that. That's just kind of how it's kind of weird. I think in my mind, I want to be the cool, the quiet guy in the corner that no one knows is there. But then I get mad when no one knows I'm there. You know what I mean?
I can totally relate.
It's like,
Blake will attest to that.
Yeah. Like, I want to be that person, but at the same time, I'm like, why don't they recognize who I am?
You know? That's so great.
But no, I've loved it. And it has it. I think yours is a lot more of a fast thing than mine was. Mine was, I did get into music later, and I'm very lucky to have the success I've had so far already. Mm-hmm. But, and Famous was the first thing that really kind of took off in a famous sort of way for me. You know, that was definitely the biggest song I've put out. So, but the rest of it's been, you know, we were playing 200 shows a year on the road, and it's, you know, you're meeting people, kind of doing it the groundwork way, doing it the hard way,
exactly, yeah.
Meeting people, making fans that way. And then you get lucky and have a song like Famous that, you know, reaches, I don't know, it's like 50 or 60 million streams now. And it's just one of those things that pretty much anywhere you go, it's, people, if you're a country fan, you probably know the song, which is cool. So now we're kind of in the stage of everybody knows the song, not everybody knows who's singing it, so we're trying to catch up on that side, you know. So but it's been great, and I welcome, you know, I never get mad when people come up and want a picture or anything like that. Maybe one day I'll get mad, but I can't really imagine doing it now.
It's a cool feeling. I always say, when people, because people always ask me, like, how do you feel when people come up and take pictures? I'm like, there's a handful of people in the world who just make people smile by taking a picture with somebody. Like, I'm never going to take that for granted. Like, that's a cool thing.
Exactly. I say that all the time about, like, Taylor Swift. Whether you like her music or not, she always, like, she'll just go running in the park and find a girl and take a picture with her and
make her year, you
make
know?
Her life, yeah, her you life, know? That's like, incredible for her.
Really, it's a superpower. Like, it's a really cool thing to be able to do, exactly. Do you remember, because you kind of talked about how you put in a ton of work, and I'm sure you did. I mean, 200 shows a week. Do you remember, like, that first time you heard your song on the radio? Like, what that feeling was? That had to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, I do. It was actually, so, well, there's two of them. One would be, like, FM radio with Famous was the first time doing that. But that was, that was with like, I forget, I actually don't remember what city I was in. I was with the Radio Reps. The one I remember was Whiskey's Fine, which was the first single I ever put out. So it was 2017, and I was in Florida down there, Perdido. It's in between Gulf Shores and Pensacola, right in that little area. Have you ever been to the Floribama?
I have not, actually.
Okay, so I grew up down. I mean, okay. That was our summer vacation. So we were down there, and this was on satellite, Sirius XM radio. And I had just become, they do a thing called a highway find, and which is a really, really big thing, especially as an independent artist. When you get that, it's just like, fine. It's kind of like the same thing as, it's the step like Famous did with the, in this world. It's the same step as for an independent artist like that. And, yeah, I was in the car with my whole family, which was really cool. So I think we had like 5 or 6 people in a 4-seater car. We're like really, really scrunched in there. And Whiskey's Fine came on. So that was cool. I got to hear it with everybody that had kind of helped make it happen in the car, you know.
Your wild feeling.
Mom started crying.
Yeah, you know. Freaking out. That's pretty cool. So how is like quarantine going? Have you been writing songs? How's that been going for you? Have you been kind of...
It's been good and bad. It's been bad on the momentum side. You know, it could be a lot worse. I'm better off than a lot of people I've talked to, which I got lucky with. You know, we were able to sign a record deal, and Famous kind of did its thing before all this happened. And I can't imagine if we were, you know, halfway through a record deal trying to get the paperwork done, and then it hit, and then they were like, you know what, never mind, we probably can't do this right now. That would have been really, really heartbreaking. So I'm really happy that happened. But once you sign the record deal, you know, my first song, Famous, was the first song to go to country radio. FM radio, terrestrial. And so the way that works is you basically do what's called a radio tour, and you go to all these stations and play for them, meet them. You know, sometimes you'll do a show, and in exchange for that, they kind of add your song to the station. And that's kind of how you work the song to radio. And there's 150 stations, and we probably only got to do, you know, 40 or 45 before all this happened. Mm-hmm. So just from a momentum standpoint of first single, it's already hard to have be a new artist at radio, but that was a big downer that way. But other than that, it's been fine. I've been able to write pretty much every day. I'm writing more now than I was before the quarantine. And then on the, you know, the time with friends and family, you know, like, I think we've stayed at my parents' house for like 3 weeks over this period, which I normally go once a year, you know. And McKinnon loves it, you know. Yeah. I'm home every weekend, so that's a nice change for a little while for us. And
you guys are still going strong. Sometimes that can ruin everybody.
Yes, it can. We were talking about that earlier. No, we're still going strong. She's always been a big quality time person. So yeah. it would have gone south the other way if I wasn't home. So she's got it going. She's got it going the way she likes it right now.
She may let you back out on the road.
Well, I'm leaving in the morning, so
You're headed to Iowa?
Yeah, going out to Iowa. We have a show this weekend, so we normally would never leave for one show on the weekend, but we miss our fans and the stage.
So is it a full band or
full band? Oh, whole production, good. Everything. It'd be interesting to see what it looks like. I know you were talking about, you did a couple shows that actually had cages around the tables, like it's
legit cattle cages around it, like cattle fences around.
I still think that my idea for you to do a music video and just raging
like
on stage,
music video, like
while everybody's peacefully seated at their table out in the crowd, that'd be great.
Oh man, so you're gonna have to let me know how that goes, because I mean, everything seemed to have opened up, and now things are like, people are like a little scared again, so it's gonna be weird.
Yeah, we're gonna do a couple shows down at Floribama, actually. Oh, yeah. I know the owners of Floribama are like really dear friends of mine, so we're going down for like 10 days next week, I think, for the 4th and all that stuff, and we're playing a bunch of acoustic style shows. But they just announced today
we'll head down there.
Y'all should head down.
For real.
We're looking for something to do next week.
Come down. It's awesome. We'll find you a place to stay. They're the owners of the Floribama. They can do whatever you need them to do. But they just shut down they closed the bars in the whole state of Florida today or something. Yeah. So I think they're going to still be open as a restaurant. So it'll work for us, but it'll be interesting to see. You can tell that people are kind of getting back to being, everybody was kind of saying, okay, we're fine. And now we're getting skittish again.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll see.
A little scared, yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad you're getting back out there though, at least. I'm sure that'll be nice, because I'm sure you're missing it. It's a rush,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
I'm sure you miss
Well, it's just, yeah, it's a way of life. It's yeah. like, it's I've been doing it every, I don't know, last 6 years or so, every weekend, and then it just, you just stop. Like,
and abruptly.
Abruptly.
Yeah, like super abruptly.
The last show we played was the Ryman here in Nashville, so that was pretty, I mean, that's
incredible.
A great one to go out on.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
It was a really awesome show, and it was obviously a Nashville show, so it was the first time my whole label got to come out and see a show. It was really great, but at the same time, you're like, it's like a great one to end on, but it leaves you, no place could leave you wanting more and more, so it's just like, man. But we got lucky. I think it was a Wednesday night, and if it would have been Thursday, it would have gotten canceled.
Oh, wow.
It was literally the last moment. I mean, my grandmother was even there. She came.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She would have definitely not been able to leave the house.
All right. Well, man, I appreciate you joining us. And right before we kind of end this, we decided, so this whole podcast, we're going to have, obviously, there's going to be some Bachelor in here and there, but we want to really focus on musicians and everything and up and coming legends, all of it, everything in between. What do you kind of want, like, your legacy to be in country music, or maybe not even in music, just in life? Like, what, I guess, are you trying to achieve? Is there, a goal in mind or anything like that?
Well, I have lots of goals. I mean, there's lots of physical goals. There's I want to play stadiums one day. I want to grow that side of things. There's a lot of, it's just kind of, I think music, I've always been the type where I just kind of, like we were talking about, I bounced from golf to baseball to music, and I kind of got tired of things, and I think music was, you can never really reach there's always something more to do with music. So there's a lot of goals that way. I think one big thing for me is I've always tried to be really close with fans coming up. I think, like, in person or on socials, whatever it is, having the power to make somebody's day or change, like we were talking about earlier, I think that's really cool. And something I would like to be known for. I always hear these stories of Garth Brooks and Kenny Chesney and these big guys that have the means to do just such cool things, and they actually use their platform to do those cool things. That's something I definitely want to do. And then musically, I just want it to last. I think music is, especially, it's kind of like here and gone, a lot of artists right now. There's not a lot of Kenny Chesney's and Blake Shelton's and stuff coming up. It's kind of like this song's here for half a year and then they go away. I would just like to make stuff that means something to me, and 20 years I'll go listen to and still think it's really good. That's like a big check that I like to have before we release a song, is, will this still be good in 20 years, or am I just liking it right now? Does it actually matter? Because I think anybody can make that music that works for 2 weeks. I think if you make some stuff like the Eagles made, that'll be good for literally ever.
That's
what it's about.
I was just about to say that. So I'm a big classic rock guy. And
yeah.
I love sitting in a bar or somewhere with somebody and a song, a classic song that I know comes on. They're like, oh my God, this is a good song. Who is this? I'm like, that's AC/DC. That's like 30 years ago.
People don't know. People don't know now. It's crazy. Yeah. I remember, who was, I think it was Kanye West, had Paul McCartney on a feature. He put him to play guitar on one of these songs. But I was reading through the comments, and they're all like, that is so sweet of Kanye to have this new guy on his song. And I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me.
That makes me so sad.
Parents, do better. Do your job. Play your kids some music. But yeah, that's, I think, and my main goal in life is to do what I love forever, and that's luckily what I get to do. And so keep doing that. Always enjoy it. And just make sure there, you can get, even in something you love, you can get to a point where you don't enjoy it. And that's one thing I always try to watch out for and try not to get to.
If it becomes, too much of a job.
We can't be having a real job.
Well, awesome, man. I appreciate you joining us and everybody listening out there. He's going to be big time. So keep an eye on Adam. It's going to be awesome to watch you, man.
Yeah, thank you for that vote of confidence.
Thanks. You got my vote.
Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome, that means awesome. Everything to him.
Yeah. All right. Thanks again, man.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world-famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.